Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Hallelujah. Well, brethren, we do know that there is no hatred like Jew hatred. Anti-Semitism is the longest hatred in history. And while people may disagree about the age of planet Earth, they're forced to agree that the age of recorded history is about 4,000 years. For the entire history of history, for all of the history of history, anti-Semitism has infected the majority of peoples and religions and civilizations. Anti-Semitism now rages in Western Europe as it does in the Middle East and the rest of the world. Why? Why? Because humankind loves to hate. And humankind naturally blame shifts and does not acknowledge the truth of this fact in reality. It's what's called iniquity. Men who are otherwise brilliant can find no single simple cause for this phenomenon of anti-Semitism or Jew hatred. The scholars continue to be blind regarding the simple truth that Jew hatred remains one of the very few constants in the 4,000-year history of change on planet Earth. Otherwise, intelligent scholars regard every outbreak of this constant, unchanging reality of Jew hatred as unique. Men of otherwise great insight remain blind to the constant line of anti-Semitism from the ancient world to that of today. There is a constant of Jew hatred. It is the constant blind spot of the human race. Whether it is the attack on Jews of Alexandria in 38 AD or the attacks 200 years earlier against ancient Jerusalem, Jew hatred is constant. And whether it's the Dreyfus Affair in 1890s France or Kristallnacht in late 1930s Germany, otherwise intelligent men remain blind to what a child can see. The popes, philosophers, professors, poobahs, and potentates continue to be blind to the simple recurring cause. They continue to see the events of history surrounding that constant of history as a mix of political, social, economic, cultural, and religious forces that absolutely preclude or defy the possibility of discerning the truth of the simple cause. Is there any real difference between the religiously based hatred of the Middle Ages and the racially based hatred of this modern era? To the Jewish victim, certainly no. There's no difference. Truth puts the responsibility for the anti-Semitic waves that engulfed Europe from the age of Constantine to the dawn of the Enlightenment right squarely at the foot of the Roman Catholic Church and its offshoots. The enlightened voices tell us that the turmoil over the course of the next three centuries was the byproduct of the rise of nationalism. People may hear no other reason today, because in the globally enlightened world of today, nationalism or patriotism is bad or evil. Everyone is to know we are on the global road to peace and security. Don't you like to believe that? That lie is the best seller today because it's the only lie we're allowed to hear. The blame shifting of humans has always had a natural place to shift the blame. Today's moral, ethical, and religious experts are even defined in terms that the religious experts gave us in 1993. Yes, in 1993, just 9 days before the 7-year peace and safety agreement, which came to be known as Oslo and then renamed Roadmap and now the Geneva whatever. Yes, just 9 days before Yitzhak Rabin signed with Yasser Arafat the 7-year peace and safety agreement on the White House lawn. The top religious leaders of the entire planet, now we're talking the Black Pope, top cardinals, we're talking the Dalai Lama himself, I mean, these were the real religious mucky-mucks, all the imams and ayatollahs of significant stature from Islam, Satanists, Jews, you name it. If it was big, if he was a major mucky-muck in the world of religion, he was there. And they gave us the global ethic. Now, the global ethic has come under so much heat that they've changed the name of it to the United Religions Initiative. The global ethic gave us the term, listen to this carefully now, here's the term they gave us, not authentically human. Think about that term, not authentically human. Isn't that nice? Not authentically human. What does that mean? Don't ask an adult, ask a child. Children anywhere on planet Earth can tell you what not authentically human means. You see, children can tell you because they heard it from the adults, and the children don't know that you're not supposed to say the incomprehensible truth. The answer is the same answer that Frederick the Great got when he demanded an immediate proof that there's a God. The Jews, Your Majesty. Yes, the Jews, being humanity's place to shift the blame. And the fact that the Jews still exist is an amazing proof of the reality of God. In every attempt at Satan and Lucifer, the devil, to wipe out this people group, to have this people group always the convenient target for blame shifting and hatred, the fact that in 4,000 years of history these people still exist as an identifiable people group proves the reality of God. Yes, it's amazing proof that there is a God, that these Jews still exist. And it also is a strong proof of the sinful nature of humans as they continue to blame everything on them and persecute them just because they're Jews. The natural way to deal with any human problem is blame shifting, because men are born sinners, and blame shifting is the basis of iniquity. The constant of the last 4,000 years of change is that weaker group of, quote, not authentically human people to blame, the Jews. Yeah, that's the constant of the last 4,000 years, which is all the history that there is as far as recorded history. That is the constant of the 4,000 years of change regarding recorded human history. And the Jews have always been that weaker group of not authentically human people to blame. And that is the constant solution for whatever is troubling the authentically human people. The Jews constantly fill that role of the group to blame by humankind's need to blame those who are ethnically, religiously, or racially different. The fact that anti-Semitism is now raging in Western Europe is undeniable. Russian anti-Semitism under Stalin and German anti-Semitism under Hitler had systematic government-imposed discrimination against Jews. The anti-Semitism now raging in Western Europe has been given lip service condemnation by the governments. This makes the Jew hatred now raging in Western Europe more disturbing. It shatters the illusion that democratic governments are an answer to Jew hatred. The idea that a Jewish state could be an answer is quickly being shattered. Anti-Semitism did not stop with the founding of the State of Israel. A very rapidly increasing number of people today, including some Jews, are convinced that anti-Semitism will end only with the disappearance of the Jewish state. Does anyone wonder or care what God says about that? God has spoken very clearly on the subject. God has given very dramatic proof and mountains of hard physical evidence that he means what he said about that subject. The reality is that Jew hatred or Jew blaming is proof of enmity of any man for God. God said so. Believe it or go to hell. It really is that simple. Regardless of whatever any Jew-hating or Jew-blaming man believes or thinks, the fact is that he does not know God. Of course he thinks he does. However, the truth is that God is God. The God that the Jew-hater or Jew-blamer knows, even if he calls him Jesus Christ, is not the real Jesus Christ. The God he knows is a God of his own imagination, who will in the long run do him no more good than faith in Harvey the 6-foot invisible rabbit. The people of this world simply are at enmity and are against the truth. The one who is the truth personified remains rejected, and his message is either not heard, rejected, perverted, or denied. The people of this world, with very, very few exceptions, maintain enmity for the one who is their creator, redeemer, judge, king, and indeed the only true God. The truth revealed more and more fully over the whole history of history is that God would and did appear from the lineage of his friend Abraham, that he whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting, would be manifested or born in Bethlehem, of the house and lineage of David. That makes him to be as Jewish as any Jew could be. If you hate Jews, you hate God, and you will wind up in hell. That is love. Yes, I'm not speaking hate speak. I'm speaking the truth in love. That is anything but hate speak. That is just the simple truth. Consider the Six-Day War of June 1967. At that time, the Soviet press was filled with scathing attacks on Israel and Zionism, and a wave of official anti-Semitism, another pogrom, was unleashed in Russia. Many Jews in Russia, who had been trying their best to melt into Soviet life, got a rude awakening. Israel suddenly became a jarring reminder of their true status in the so-called workers' paradise. They were trapped in a world where they were free neither to live openly as Jew nor to escape the stigma of their Jewishness. Even to many of those Russian Jews, Israel seemed to be part of the problem and not part of the solution. It may sound hard to believe, but many Jews in Russia in 1967 believed things would be better if Israel did not exist. It is amazing today how many, regardless of race or place on this planet where they live or where they were born, whether they think they know God or not, have a notion that Israel is one of the primary causes of anti-Semitism, and this phenomena is growing. Today, the world increasingly hates Jews because it increasingly hates Israel. And brethren, the state of Israel cannot be the cause of a phenomena that predates it by 4,000 years. How could the state of Israel possibly be regarded as the cause of a contemporary anti-Semitism? Anywhere you want to look, the Jewish state does appear to be at the center of the Jew hatred anti-Semitic storm. In Europe, the connection between Israel and anti-Semitism is obvious. The timing and nature of the attacks on European Jews, whether physical or verbal, have always revolved around Israel. The anti-Semitic wave began when the Palestinians launched their Oslo terror war against the Jewish state in September of 2000, right after the UN Millennial Summit, when the Antichrist Prince picked up the tab to bring every religious mucky muck and his entourage and all the government leaders of the world and their entourages and put them all up for weeks in Manhattan. Just pocket change for him, no problem. But he got his picture on the cover of the UN Millennial Summit immediately following that UN Millennial Summit. The worst anti-Semitism in Europe so far was when Israel initiated Operation Defensive Shield at the end of March in 2002. In just that single month, 125 Israelis had been killed by terrorists, and Israel began Operation Defensive Shield, and immediately that precipitated the worst so far wave of anti-Semitism in Western Europe. Journalists and scholars now regularly demonize the Jews. Yes, even Antichrist pretend to be Christians and used to be Christians are calling Jews Christ killers. They're charging them with poisoning non-Jews, fabricating blood libels, and it really has become fashionable to throw gasoline on the raging fires of anti-Semitism in Western Europe right now. The so-called Christians even refer to the Jesuit Roman Catholic masterpiece of forgery to produce Jew hatred. The great Jesuit forgery known as the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. Yes, it is the Jesuit masterpiece of forgery. The protocols even today cause people to trade the love heart motivator for that of hate. And that is the great Roman Catholic Jesuit Luciferian success of the protocols. Write me if you want some of the best information available about the truth regarding the Jesuit Roman Catholic masterpiece of forgery known as the protocols. The Italian newspaper La Stampa published a cartoon of an infant Jesus lying at the foot of an Israeli tank pleading, "Don't tell me they want to kill me again." The frequent comparisons of Ariel Sharon to Adolf Hitler, of Israelis to Nazis, and of Palestinians to the Jewish victims of the Holocaust are not the work of ignorant goons, but of university professors and sophisticated columnists. There's nothing noble about giving a Nobel Peace Prize to Yasser Arafat. And there's nothing noble about giving a Nobel Prize for Literature to author José Saramago, who wrote of Israel's treatment of the Palestinians, quote, "We can compare it with what happened at Auschwitz." The World Conference Against Racism that was held recently by the United Nations in Durban, South Africa, was an anti-Semitic circus. The Jewish state was accused of everything from racism and apartheid to crimes against humanity and genocide. How absurd does it get when the Jews themselves are turned into the perpetrators of anti-Semitism? Brethren, do not bite the devil's bait. It's natural for every human being to hate and blame shift. And this is why we need to be born again. The modern Jewish state of Israel cannot be the cause of 4,000 years of Jew hatred. This is absurd ignorance gone to seed. Here's a plain, simple truth. Anyone who blames Israel or the Jews for the world's problems cannot be a true Christian. You may not like that truth, but it's a plain, simple truth that anyone who blames Israel or the Jews for the world's problems cannot be a true Christian or a true Jew. And does not know God. Yeah. To be sure, the Jew blamers and Jew haters will think they know God. Brethren, people like Tex Mars need to be exposed for the lying agents of the devil that they really are. When someone who cannot plead ignorance equates the Illuminati with Zionism, they need to be quickly marked as the agent of the devil that they really are. When an ignorant, brainwashed Muslim or Roman Catholic does that, it's to be expected that Jesuits control both the Roman Catholic and Muslim thought processes. But when a so-called Christian expert does so, it must be quickly pointed out that he is neither Christian nor expert. For the short term, Israel has become the world's Jew. And everyone thinks that the world's problems are all because of Israel. Everyone seems to think the world's problems will disappear when the modern state of Israel is dismantled. No one seems to regard what God has to say about the issues. That is the sad state of the Antichrist world today. Here in the Middle East, it's easy to hear the blood-curdling cry from the mosques. They're much more open with their truth. The cry is not death to the Israelis, but death to the Jews. It is much more subtle in more civilized circles. The pinnacle of the devil's subtlety is seen when so-called Christian experts want to dismantle or liquidate the state of Israel. You do not blame a 4,000-year-old problem on a 55-year-old state, brethren. I'm going to say it again. You don't blame a 4,000-year-old problem on a 55-year-old state. Yet today, you can read a columnist in London proudly boasting that he does not read published letters in support of Israel that are signed by Jews. In 1945, right after the horror of the Holocaust was openly exposed, it was not really respectable to be openly anti-Semitic. Now, when you hear discussions anywhere in Europe, it's not only respectable, but fashionable. The Middle East is a hot topic, and almost all discussions of the Middle East in Europe is pure old-fashioned and very open Jew hatred. For years now, the Jewish state alone is condemned in the UN. That sometimes seems to be the whole purpose of the United Nations. None of the dozens of tyrannies represented by the UN General Assembly ever seem to get singled out for UN condemnation, just Israel. You'll find over 25 resolutions every year, all against Israel and none against Cuba, North Korea, China, or Iran. Only Israel is targeted by Western campaigns of divestment. In the last year, the poverty level has gone from 10% to 30% in Israel, as a direct result of Western divestment, boycotts, and embargoes. Only Israel is denied membership in the International Red Cross. Israeli scholars do not get grants and do not get published. Brethren, when people say they do not hate Jews, but they hate the state of Israel, they are expressing willing ignorance or just plain lying hypocrisy. I tell all such, I don't care if they be popes or philosophers or professors or poobahs or potentates, that God's truth is that when people criticize Zionism, they mean Jews, period. Brethren, don't let anybody kid you. When people say Zionism, they mean Jews. The world hates Israel because the world hates Jews. The only people who do not hate Jews are the people who really know God and don't just think they do. I will not allow the 4,000-year-old indicator of people who do not know God and who hate God in their hypocritical hearts be blamed on a 55-year-old state of Israel. In about 500 BC, now we're talking about 2,500 years ago, here's what a guy named Haman, the infamous minister of Persia, said to convince the king to order the annihilation of the Jews. He said, "There's a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of thy kingdom, and their laws are diverse from all people, neither keep they the king's laws. Therefore it's not good for the king's prophet to suffer them. If it please the king, let it be written that they may be destroyed. and I will pay 10,000 talents of silver to the hands of those that have charge of the business to bring it into the king's treasuries. You'll find that in the book of Esther, chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. In about 100 AD, there was a Roman historian by the name of Tacitus, carried on the enlightened tradition of Jew hatred. It was common practice in the enlightened world at that time to kill babies. Yes, that was common practice in the whole enlightened world. It was common to kill babies. Common practice. Newborn babies got killed all the time. It was just common as anything. Now, it's not like the abortions of today, unless you could ask the baby. It was a little different, but still, the message was the same, whether delivered by Haman or some other enlightened one. Tacitus wrote about the Jews that should be hated. He said, quote, "Among the Jews, all things are profane that we hold sacred, and on the other hand, they regard as permissible what seems to us immoral. The rest of the world they confront with the hatred reserved for enemies. They will not feed or intermarry with Gentiles. They have introduced circumcision to show that they are different from others, and it's a crime among them to kill any newborn infant." And in about 200 AD, there was a Greek writer by the name of Philostratus, and he gives another look at the enlightened tradition of Jew hatred. He said, "For the Jews have long been in revolt not only against the Romans, but against humanity, and a race that has made its own life apart and irreconcilable, that cannot share with the rest of mankind in the pleasures of the table, nor join in their libations or prayers or sacrifices, are separated from ourselves by a greater gulf than divides us from Sura or Bactica of the more distant Indies." The Jews actually did reject the values that were dominant in the ancient world. They did refuse to sacrifice to foreign gods. The Jews did strongly oppose the killing of newborn infants. There was a time when the Jews were the only group of people in the civilized world that did consider the killing of newborn infants to be a crime. The Jews were the only people to seriously challenge the moral system of the Greeks. The Jews did defy the idolatry of the pagan world around them since recorded history began. The Jews were the only people group proclaiming the idea of the one true God, the creator of heaven and earth, for the first 2,000 years of recorded history. The Christians joined them in the proclamation of the one true God for the last 2,000 years. Perhaps the strangest thing in the last 2,000 years is how the Jews have been persecuted in the name of the Jewish Messiah, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Jesus Christ was crucified by the pagan government that then ruled the world for the charge of being king of the Jews. It is very strange that the greatest propagation of Jew hatred was accomplished by the Roman Catholic religion, which claimed to be Christian. The Roman Catholic religion, which also put Muhammad in the religion business, remains a primary driving force of Jew hatred to this day. However, there has always been a very, very small remnant of real Christians who did not go along with the Roman Catholic Church and the rest of the world in the world religion of Jew hatred. Jews and real Christians are notorious and almost unique for refusing to subordinate their beliefs to those of their conquerors. All who would dare to claim to be Christians today need to take a serious look at the so-called history of the Christian Church. Is the Roman Catholic Jesuit version of history true, or is it false? Christianity claims to follow Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who was born in Bethlehem. That makes Jesus Christ as Jewish as a Jew could possibly be. How could the followers of Jesus Christ, the King of the Jews, hate Jews? The only truthful answer is they cannot. They have a perverse, distorted idea and will refuse to take personal responsibility for their sins. And it's much easier to call the Jews Christ killers than to say it was my sin that caused the greatest injustice of all history. Yes, the Holy God, the spotless Lamb of God, died on that cross for my sins. If you want the truth, it's a lot more truth that Jim's sins was the reason for Christ dying on that cross than it was the Jews. No. People better learn the truth, that they've got to go and take personal responsibility for their sins and identify with that death, identify with that greatest injustice of all history. The followers of the real Jesus Christ are always easily recognized, not just because of their love for the truth and love for people in general, but by their love for the Jewish people in particular. Real Christians hate Jew hatred with a passion. Real Christians will not submit to the Roman Catholic Pope's idolatrous, hypocritical, vain religion of black witchcraft draped in Christian terms. More and more real Christians do not regard the Roman Catholic Pope's Sabbath. More and more real Christians do not regard the celebrations of the winter solstice, better known as Christmas, or the rebirth of the sun god, and the spring equinox, better known as Easter, for Astarte, the fertility goddess celebrations, regardless of the Christian terms applied to those pagan celebrations. The arrival of Christianity under the perversion of the black witchcraft of the Roman Catholic Church did not reduce Jew hatred, but made it an essential part of the Roman Catholic religion. Historically, Roman Catholics know how to hate and persecute religiously. Persecution of the Jews under the Roman popes would intensify a thousandfold. The refusal of the people of the Old Covenant to accept the Roman Pope's new religion came to be defined as a threat to the very legitimacy of Christianity. The Roman popes made Jew hatred part of the Roman Catholic religion and persecuted the Jews religiously. The Roman Catholics branded the Jews as Christ killers and sons of devils. The Roman Catholic Church and her offshoots launched a systematic campaign to denigrate the Holy Bible in general, and the Hebrew Scriptures in particular. The Roman Catholic Church ruled the Dark Ages before the printing press. The Jews had precise, handmade copies of 75% of the Holy Bible. The Jews, therefore, were a great threat to the Roman Catholics. The Holy Bible has always been the greatest threat to religion and all other forms of tyranny. The Roman Catholic Church made outrageous accusations of desecrating the host, ritual murder, poisoning wells, all sorts of blood libel. The Roman Catholic Church and her offshoots would make many outrageous false accusations against the Jews to burn their synagogues because they had those Torah scrolls. They had those handwritten Bibles in those synagogues, and that was how Rome sought to destroy the Word of God. The only way Rome could have the total control of the world would be to destroy the Scriptures. And to do that, Rome had to wipe out the Jews. With the growing power of the Church and the global spread of Christianity, the deadly Jew hatred was carried to the far corners of the world, bringing anti-Semitism and Jew hatred to places where no Jewish foot had ever trod. The illiterate masses of serfs were easily convinced by Rome that persecution of the powerless Jews was justified as a divine payback for the Jewish rejection of Jesus. This religious stamp of approval for Jew hatred would be invoked many, many times through the centuries. Not only would this be true of the Roman Catholic Church, but it should be made known that Rome financed and taught and put Muhammad in his religion business. To this day, Rome controls Islam. Islam is the overt arm of Rome for killing Jews and real Christians. The religious doctrine of Jew hatred would even be sacred to many in the so-called Protestant Reformation of Christianity. Martin Luther is a classic case in point. Luther knew the scriptures taught justification by faith. He knew that faith works by love and not hate. Luther knew that Christians were to love all men according to the scriptures, and that included Jews in particular. Luther was certain that he could convince the Jews to acknowledge the superior truth of Christianity, that he could convince them that Jesus was in fact who he said he was, their Messiah and indeed God, and indeed their Creator as well as Redeemer. Martin Luther was at first extremely friendly toward the Jews. As a young man, Luther had complained about the mistreatment of Jews by the church. However, Luther turned into one of the bitterest enemies of the Jews as soon as he realized that his efforts to woo them to his new form of Christianity would never bear fruit. Brethren, it's something that people just don't seem to understand. We were, as Christians, called to love Israel, to show mercy to Israel, to get the Jewish nation to repent of its sin of rejecting the Messiah. God said he was going to convert that whole nation in a day. There's only two things that any of us Christians, any of us real Christians, need to tell the Jew. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission, and Yeshua can forgive your sins. Let the Holy Ghost do the rest. Alberto Ribeiro told us much about the origin of the protocols. He was a Jesuit, a professed Jesuit, taking the highest blood oaths of the highest level of the Jesuits. He found the truth. He renounced Lucifer's Jesuits and shined the light of truth upon them. Alberto was greatly maligned and not helped at all by the apostate Protestants and Baptists in America. He was helped somewhat by Jack Chick. Jack Chick published his story in 6 volumes titled Alberto 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. If you haven't read them, get them from Jack Chick. Alberto Rivera says that it was the Jews aligned with the Pope who published the protocols. The Jesuits' fingerprints may be seen all over the protocols, brethren. Whether they used some traitorous Jews or did it alone is debatable. What is not debatable is that the Jesuits alone were the ones who were able to produce the protocols, and to this day promote the protocols in every way imaginable. Alberto Rivera was greatly hated by the Vatican because he was a very high Jesuit. He was an insider who came out in about 1969. He exposed the power of Rome in the ecumenical movement. Yes, the Jesuits killed him. Think motive. Who gains and who loses by the protocols? The Jesuits are the big winners because their plan for control of the world is blamed on the Jews. The Jews are the big losers, and tens of thousands, hundreds of 6 million killed in Nazi Holocaust in World War II. God only knows how many in Russia. Millions of Jewish lives have already been lost as the result of the protocols. Untold millions of souls will burn in hell because the love which was taught and demonstrated by Jesus Christ is perverted to hate by such Jesuit work as the protocols. Lucifer is the Jesuits' god. He was enthroned. They had a special ceremony that was conducted simultaneously in the Vatican and at the highest Freemason temple in the world, located 13 blocks north of the White House. Simultaneously, they conducted the ceremony, the highest occult ceremony that there is, the enthronement of the fallen archangel Lucifer. That was done in 1967. Another very high Vatican insider, Jesuit, told us about that, Dr. Malachi Martin. You can find that in Martin's book, The Keys of This Blood. And before he could get his third exposing book published, yeah, the Jesuits killed Malachi Martin. It was really strange that the only thing missing was the manuscript, which was completed and ready for publishing, of Dr. Martin's third book. That was the only thing missing when they killed Dr. Malachi Martin. Make no mistake about it. The Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion is a Jesuit Luciferian Antichrist masterpiece. Don't let anybody tell you anybody produced the Protocols other than the Jesuits. Of course, the Jews did not drain the blood of children. The Jews did not poison wells or attempt to mutilate the body of Christ or commit any of the other wild crimes of which the Roman Church accused them of. Moreover, since many of the teachings of Christianity and Islam stem directly from Jewish ones, Jews could hardly be said to have denied them. But if rejecting the Christian or Islamic world meant rejecting the Christian or Islamic creed, then Jews, who clung to their own separate faith and way of life, were certainly rejectionists. For many Jews, over the last 2,000 years, there was theoretically a way out of institutionalized discrimination and persecution by assimilation. Even assimilation had proved to be an illusion for the Jew to escape Jew hatred and persecution. Both assimilated and non-assimilated Jews, both religious and secular Jews, were equally victimized by pogroms, persecutions, and genocide. In fact, the terrors directed at the assimilated Jews of Western Europe have led some to conclude that far from ending anti-Semitism, assimilation actually makes the problem worse for the Jew. The first nation in history to give Jews the right to vote and extend full citizenship to Jews was the United States. To this day, assimilation, with or without conversion to the majority faith, does not solve the Jew hate problem. Jews in Europe now, and coming soon to America, will find it more and more difficult to become real Frenchmen or true Germans than their ancestors would have found it to become Greeks or Romans or Christians or Muslims. If the Jews do not fight for their homeland now, when there are still real Christians above ground who will stand with them, they will have no place to run or hide when the lights go out. Hitler stated it clearly in Mein Kampf. Hitler says, "Wherever I went, I began to see Jews, and the more I saw, the more sharply they became distinguished in my eyes from the rest of humanity." Ah, yes, you see where that not authentically human term came from? Right straight out of the pits of hell, brethren. You see, the demonic, satanic, and ungodly nature of Jew hatred does not change with time. The masses are at enmity with God, and Jew hatred and blame shifting to Jews is demonic in nature. Jew hatred and blame shifting to the Jews is an almost unfailing indicator of enmity against the Creator and Redeemer. The only king and owner of this planet, Jew hatred is a sign that you don't know him. There was a time when 95% of the so-called Christians in Germany, Roman Catholics, Lutherans, Evangelicals, all thought Hitler was the greatest Christian in Germany. There's an incredible parallel with what's happening in America right now. Those claiming to be Christians and hating Jews are deceived in one of the strongest forms of demonic bondage that exists. Jew hatred is a strong demonic deception. A real Christian not only does not hate Jews, but in fact has special God-given love toward them. Today's anti-Semitism in the Antichrist war on the saints is worse than previous Jew hatred. Hitler was just a dress rehearsal for the plans of the Antichrist prince in the last days' Antichrist war on the saints. And that war on the saints that we see now will conclude with the glorious return of the Messiah. Yes, the return. He's been here. His name is Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Yeshua the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach. He's going to be back to conclude this Antichrist war on the saints, and it's coming soon. Hallelujah. Modern Jews may not have believed that they were rejecting the prevailing order around them, but that does not mean their demonic enemies necessarily agreed with them. Just as in the ancient world, the Jews in the modern Antichrist or apostate Christian world remain the object and target of demonic hatred. Separate, assimilated, secular, or religious makes no difference. The only friend of the Jew is Messiah and his real true followers, who prove their reality by their God-given special love for the Jews and ability to see through the spin of the mass media to blame everything on the Jewish people in Israel. They have the spirit of truth in them. That's why they can see through the spin. It is a plain, simple fact and truth that wherever Jews were given the chance, most modern Jews strove to become model citizens. Today, modern lies and mass media spin promoting Jew hatred are just as far removed from the truth as in ancient times. The Jews did not and do not control the banks. They did not and do not control the media of communication. They did not and do not control governments. The Jews are not planning and plotting to take over anything. They are pouring out their blood against a totally hostile world to hang on to a piece of land that the Messiah, the God of real Christians and Jews, has given them and commanded them to occupy. Today, Jew hatred is more and more sharply focused on the state of Israel. Israel has all of a sudden become the state that everyone loves to hate. Israel is thought by the world to challenge both the political and moral or spiritual order at the same time. Israel is thought to challenge the order of the Arab and Muslim Middle East and the order that prevails in Western Europe. The values that have shaped today's Middle East are Islamic fundamentalism and state authoritarianism. To the Islamic fundamentalist, any non-Muslim sovereign power in the region, particularly a Jewish sovereign power, is vile and intolerable. Jewish sovereignty in an area which the Muslims call Dar al-Islam, the realm where Islam is destined to have exclusive dominance, makes the Muslim demons continually manifest. Right now, on Ramadan, they're all up on top of the Temple Mount in a demonic frenzy, shouting Allah Akbar, which really means our God is greater than the God of the Jews and the God of the Christians. The God of the Jews cannot keep us off of their God's most holy place, and our God is greater than the God of the Jews and the God of the Christians. One of the most absurd things that you could ever hear anybody say is that the God of Islam, the God of the Muslims, Allah, the moon god, Lucifer, Satan, the devil, is the same God as the God of the Christians and the God of the Jews. Brethren, that's like saying light is the same as darkness. No, it's not. I hope no one ever tries to tell you that the moon god of Islam, Lucifer, Satan, the devil, is the same as the God of the Christians. If you do ever hear anybody say something that outrageous, you should be sure to be quick to set them straight. The Muslim will be satisfied with nothing less than Israel's total destruction, the total destruction of all Jews, and then destroying the Christians. To the secular Arab regimes, the Jews of Israel are a great threat. The threat to the secular Arab regime is to have Israel existing as a free, productive, democratic neighboring state. The people controlled by repressive secular Arab regimes view Israel as a living rebuke to the corrupt regime surrounding it. The Jewish state is the ultimate freedom fighter, Israel has freedom of its citizens that is a threat to both forms of Arab states. In the Arab media, in the mosque worldwide, the Jews are presented as a symbol of all that is menacing in the democratic materialist West as a whole. The Arabs do everything possible to promote the lie that the Jews are the treacherous force manipulating the United States into a confrontation with Islam. Europe has bought the lie. The Jesuits love to promote this lie everywhere and have the real resources to do it. These things should have helped anyone see why Oslo was doomed from day one. No one is going to be satisfied with anything less than the liquidation of the state of Israel. Nothing less than the liquidation of the Jewish state is going to be the result of their plan. The schools in Gaza, the textbooks in Ramallah, the newspapers in Egypt, the television channels in Saudi Arabia never deviated one iota, brethren, with the so-called Oslo insanity or the roadmap insanity or the Geneva insanity. No, it never changed a thing in those places. The Jews and the state of Israel must and will be destroyed according to every Muslim's heart desire. In Egypt, copies of Shimon Peres's goofy little book, A New Middle East, were printed with an introduction in Arabic claiming that his crazy little book of the Middle East peacemaking proved the veracity of everything written in the protocols of the elders of Zion. They couldn't read what Peres wrote, but the introduction, they had his book to prove that the protocols was real. The Antichrist and the Jesuits and the Luciferians, but particularly the Jesuits, are just phenomenally slick at promoting a Jewish plot to rule the world. And people just love to hate the Jews. That's one thing about history that just never seems to change unless people get born again and meet the King of the Jews and really know the King of the Jews. Hallelujah. Well, as far as Western Europe, they now seem just as united regarding the destruction and dismantling of the state of Israel as the Arabs do. Before 1967, people still remembered the Holocaust. Israel was a small state struggling for existence in the face of Arab aggression. European political classes had a certain restraint for their Jew hatred. But all that changed in June of 67, when that tiny little state of Israel got the miraculous victory. Yes, and there is no other explanation, no other word that is a correct word to use for that victory other than a miraculous victory against the massed Arab enemies in that six-day war. In Europe, what we saw was Israel the victim instantly become Israel the aggressor. All the European political elite were convinced before 1967 that it was absolutely certain that Israel would lose any combined Arab attack. There was not a chance for Israel. Before 1967, anti-Zionist resolutions sponsored by the Arabs and their Soviet partners in the United Nations didn't get much support among the democracies of the Western world. But after 1967, more and more Western countries joined the condemnation of Israel. And by 1974, Yasser Arafat, whose organization openly proclaimed terrorism as the means and destruction of a UN member state, the goal, was invited. Yeah, they invited the granddaddy of all terrorists, the father of airline hijacking. They invited this greatest living murderer, pedophile, alive to address the UN General Assembly. And the next year, that same UN General Assembly passed that infamous Zionism is Racism resolution. In 1981, Israel's strike against Iraq's nuclear reactor was condemned by the entire world, including the United States. In the summer of 2000, at Camp David, Ehud Barak offered the Palestinians everything their leadership was thought to be demanding. The offer was flatly rejected, and that's when Arafat started the present Oslo War. As Israel defended itself, Europe became more and more open in its resentment of the Jewish state. Israel had taken every last step for peace. Europe was united that Israel was the state that everyone loved to hate and blame for every problem. The Jews all over the world, whether they supported Israel or not, were considered citizens of the Jewish state rather than citizens of their native country. Americans, too, are hated by the rest of the world. The U.S. pressures Israel harder than any other country to bend to the world domination plan of the Jesuits and Luciferians. Europe and the rest of the world want Israel to be dismantled as a Jewish state. In dozens of countries, protesters streamed into the streets to voice their fury at the refusal of the United States to conform to what everybody knew was required of it. The protests were not about any good in Iraq. The protests were about American vice and the grievances of anti-capitalists, radical environmentalists, and self-styled anti-imperialists. The world viewed from Europe and the Middle East outside of Israel would cheer a strategic attack of America by the Russians. The European idea of a world regulated not by force but by reason, compromise, non-judgmentalism will sooner or later be proven to be la-la land. Europe today professes pacifism and nationalism has given way to the Union of Europe. When America makes statements like evil empire or axis of evil, the only country in the world which can relate to such expressions today is Israel. Only Israel today can possibly relate and identify with the idea of actually confronting the axis of evil. Israel and the Jewish people share something essential with the United States. The Jews, after all, have long held that they were chosen to play a special role in history, to be what their prophets called a light unto the nations. America is the only country in the world which has not yet fully set itself against Israel. The pressure is mounting for America to join the rest of the world and be set against Israel. On June 26, 2002, Bush yielded to the pressure and joined Russia, Europe, and the United Nations in the roadmap to dismantle the state of Israel. The people of this world simply are at enmity. They're at odds and don't really want the truth. The one who is the truth, personified, remains rejected. The people of the world, with very, very few exceptions, maintain enmity for the one who truth says is their creator, redeemer, judge, king, and indeed the only true God. The truth revealed more and more fully over the nearly completed, yes, it is a nearly completed span of history. We're at the end of it, brethren. Says that God would and did appear from the lineage of his friend Abraham. That he whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting, would be manifest or born in Bethlehem of the house and lineage of David. And that makes Jesus Christ of Nazareth to be as Jewish according to the flesh as any Jew could possibly be. The New York Times of October 27, 2003 had an article by Tommy Friedman on expand NATO to Iraq, Egypt, and Israel. Friedman had interviewed NATO officials and he concluded that if NATO really wants to secure Europe, it needs to help stabilize other regions to its south. Iraq, after getting a democratic government, will need a force over the horizon as a guarantor. The ideal force to do this, according to Friedman, would be a combined Iraqi multinational force that included an Arab-Muslim component. Egypt is the leading candidate. Yes, Egypt. Sounds insane. But I can tell you from seeing with our own eyes, Egypt has many, many soldiers trained and ready for action somewhere. All of NATO's 55,000 usable European-Canadian troops are now maxed out on peacekeeping missions. Egypt has a huge surplus of military manpower. And yes, that is now the plan, to have Iraq and Egypt join NATO. To do this, Israel would essentially be dismantled and liquidated in stages. The first step would be to force the so-called roadmap. The next move would force Israel into NATO. Then there will be a multinational force to police Israel and the new Palestinian state. It is amazing how that people of the world do not see the outrage of private citizens, Yossi Belin, chief pedophile, and others, who could not be elected dog catcher in Israel, going to Geneva to formulate a plan to liquidate the state of Israel. The multinational force brought in to police Israel and the new Palestinian state would be a U.S.-led NATO force. Since the U.S., European, and Canadian forces are maxed out elsewhere, Israel would have to accept Egyptian Iraqi peacekeepers. Oh, won't that be nice? Provided they were packaged under an American command. Well, the bottom line is the end of Israel. When Arafat's dream of an international force to police the conflict becomes attainable with the help of the creative strategists of Brussels. Brethren, the Holy Bible says this insanity will not stand. The Antichrist globalists, the Jesuits, and the rest of the godless Illuminati Satanists have come to the conclusion that the creation of the State of Israel in 1948 was a mistake. The Jews are to be evicted from the Middle East. This is the Antichrist plan to solve the many Middle East problems. It will not stand. It will most certainly produce World War III, and it will most certainly be blamed on the Jews, of course. This proposition would not likely get approval with the Israeli voters. That is the understatement of the year. Yossi Belin and Abraham Berg, the so-called authors of the so-called Geneva understandings, made good on their pledge to get the document into the door of every home in Israel. And it certainly explains why two senior NATO members, Belgium and France, enthusiastically granted its senior author, Yossi Belin, $7 million. I'll write him a paper. For $7 million, I'll write you a paper. For domestic marketing and promotion. They're promoting this as some sort of an official document. What an outrage. Daniel Levy, the son of Lord Levy, who's a close friend of Tony Blair, is said to be the co-author of its English text. Isn't it interesting that this document, really, though they call it a Geneva Agreement, it's really sourced out of London. Don't ever forget that. But Daniel Levy's father is trying to get Yossi Belin received at 10 Downing Street. Meanwhile, the purpose of the Israeli news blackout has become clear. The Israeli government recently shut down Eretz 7, the only voice of real news in Israel for the last 15 years. And there's nothing in the Israeli press about what ought to be the biggest news since the start of the modern state of Israel. Certainly it's even bigger, I think, than the news regarding the Six-Day War and the incredible, miraculous victory. How that a couple of private citizens who could not win an election for dog catcher could come back with a plan, be given $6 million, $7 million by France to liquidate their country. Yes, it's treason. There's nothing other than treason that you could call it if people had a rational mind nowadays. But you see, everybody hates Jews. So as long as it is bad for the Jews, everybody's going to say, well, it's official. Why, who wouldn't think that we should liquidate the state of Israel? Brethren, the plan to liquidate the Jewish state is outrageous. And at the core of this outrageous draft is a La La Land cure-all for resolving the Palestinian-Israeli conflict. All points at issue will be brought to international arbitration or handed over to international monitors. Well, guess what? You got Israel, and you got all the other nations of the world. So when it's handed over to international monitors, you basically have the liquidation of the state of Israel. Israel has been told they have nothing to say or do about it. The Antichrist global hidden shadow government has already made its decision. Brethren, I hope you're well read on what the God of Israel has to say about all this insanity of the Antichrist shadow government plan to eradicate the state of Israel. You can click up the best summary of prophetic scriptures that I have at this date on a title called Prophecies for Now on the Great Joy and Great Tribulation website. Again, we need to make clear that the Roman Catholics are not the problem. Most Jesuits are not even the problem. Most Jesuits are at the low level. They don't know that the higher level Jesuits worship Lucifer openly as God. The Jews certainly are not the problem. Anybody who says the Jews are the problem is in fact part of the problem. Even the majority of Freemasons are not the problem. The low-level Freemasons are directed away from the truth that Lucifer is the god of Freemasonry. The problem really is twofold. Number one, the top is corrupt of all organizations. We are living in an antichrist, Luciferian, satanic world. Only he who now lets will let until he be taken out of the way. Lucifer is about ready to do stealing, killing, and destroying on an unprecedented level that Jesus Christ told us has never been before, and thank God will never be again. But I have good news for those who really know the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, who was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. He did it. It is finished. He has gotten total victory. Those who really know the King, and not just know about him, but really do know him, from having read his book. Yeah, the Holy Bible is the book of the King of Kings. It's the book of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was the Lord Jesus Christ who told Moses what to write. Yes, you need to read that book the way he said to read it, line upon line, precept upon precept. Yes, it's all the Word of God. And Jesus said, if you had believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. And if you believe not Moses' words, how shall you believe my words? And in fact, you won't. You won't get to know the real Lord Jesus Christ, who is King of the Jews and your King and your God, unless you read the entire King James Version Holy Bible, like God said, line upon line. Line upon line, precept upon precept. From in the beginning, every word in the order God preserved it and purified it seven times, from Genesis 1:1 straight through to Revelation 22:21. You need to get off the internet, get the TV turned off, the radio turned off, and get a King James Version Holy Bible and do that. You see, we've got a twofold problem. Number one, again, the top is corrupt and worships Lucifer as their god. The top of all religion, the top of all government, the top of all economics worships Lucifer as their god. They're devil worshipers. And the second problem is that people are being destroyed because they are ignorant of the authorized King James Version English scriptures. And anyone who has not read the King James Version Bible from in the beginning of Genesis to the Amen in Revelation is not educated. I don't care if you got 10 fuds, thuds, and duds behind your name. If you have not read the King James Version Holy Bible, you are part of the problem. And if you preach or teach from another version, you are a big part of the problem. And this man of God will tell you to get a King James Version Holy Bible and read Revelation 22, 18, and 19. And you better take it to heart. The masses of ignorant Roman Catholics or ignorant Freemasons or even ignorant Jesuits do not know that Lucifer is the god of their organizations. They do not know of the Luciferian Antichrist rottenness at the top of these organizations. Brethren, it is love, and it is certainly not hate, which motivates this duty to tell you the truth about the Jesuits, the Roman Catholic Church, Freemasonry, and the fact and reality that all governments of this world are Luciferian Antichrist. You've got an unholy trinity of Lucifer, Satan, the devil, the Antichrist prince, and the false prophet pope. And it's a threefold system of government, economics, and religion. And if you don't get to read the King James Version Holy Bible, you will be overwhelmed. The top of Freemasonry and Jesuits worship Lucifer openly. The highest government officials in all governments worship Lucifer, Satan, the devil, openly. Yes, we are at war, saints, and I hate Lucifer with a perfect hatred. I know that Lucifer is the god of Freemasonry, and those at the top of the Jesuit order know that Lucifer is the one in charge of the Roman Catholic Church today. And Rome, of course, has been given control. The Pope will, and has been given, signed, sealed, and delivered in June of 2000. The Pope is in charge of all religion worldwide. And Lucifer is in charge of that worldwide global antichrist religion of tolerance. Brethren, it's time that you get to know what God said about things and stop listening to other people telling you what God said about things. You need to read it with your own eyes and know it by the only teacher that you can trust, the Holy Ghost. Now let me give you the good news again. Jesus Christ died for sinners. Saints are redeemed, repentant sinners. The Lord Jesus Christ was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. The devil is a totally defeated foe. Real Christians don't fight fair at all in this Antichrist war on the saints, because we don't die. We go right on. We have eternal life, abundant eternal life right now. And it is very sure that all of that corrupt top in every arm serving Lucifer, with deliberate knowledge and purpose, will surely lose this war. It's a done deal. And the Luciferians are too deceived to even know it. If you want to put out or execute a contract on me, then you just don't know my big brother. Hallelujah. And you can't know my father if you don't know my big brother. Hallelujah. Brethren, the best definition of a Jew ever written was written by the Apostle Paul at the end of Romans chapter 2. In Romans chapter 2, verse 28 and 29, "For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God." Simply put, a Jew is a God-pleaser. Brethren, I don't hate Jews, I don't hate Catholics, I don't hate Muslims, I don't hate anybody. I was born into a Roman Catholic family, and I was educated by the Jesuits. I have no axe to grind with anyone except Lucifer, Satan, the devil. And if you haven't taken that mark, that 666 biochip mark in your right hand or your forehead, you got a chance. But you need to get a hold of a King James Version Holy Bible. And if you don't have one, if you have a computer, which you obviously do, or you probably couldn't hear this now, fire me an email, and I'll tell you how you can get a King James Version Holy Bible on your computer for free. But it is on the computer now, and if there's free Bible programs, the King James Version, no other version perversions, every one of those is a Luciferian perversion of the Word of God. You need the King James Version Holy Bible, the seventh purification of the Word of God. Get it downloaded, and get reading it as quickly as you possibly can. We have a complete CD of the entire Great Joy and Great Tribulation website, which includes three King James Version Bible programs, one in DOS, one in Windows, and one in plain text. And there's about 120 hours of some real strong meat preaching to build your faith quickly and teach you how to do spiritual warfare. But brethren, I've got to tell you this. If someone hates Jews, or anyone else for that matter, they're not pleasing God and are in for one ultimate horrible surprise. Christians cannot hate anyone, and especially not Jews. If someone comes against you for loving Jews and standing up for them and calls you a Jew or a Jew lover, just say thank you. Heaven is going to be full, 100% full of redeemed, repentant sinners. There will be no workers of iniquity. Matthew 7, 22 and 23, very, very clear on that. Racism is a form of iniquity. If you don't like Jews, you won't like heaven, because it will be 100% full of them, the natural ones and the grafted in spiritual ones, all of them God pleasers. Yes, a God pleaser is what a Jew is, according to the Apostle Paul in the New Testament. So if you hate Jews, you are deceived and bound for hell and don't know God, no matter what else you think you know. If any man thinks he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. Well, I tell you, if you hate Jews, you do not know God. And I know what I said there. I don't think I know that's true. I know that I know that I know that is true. Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua.